afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch. This is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly gathering around the chair. And this, of course, is the last broadcast of 2023. And I am going to do my very best, which is usually pretty good, at fulfilling the mission of the broadcast from the captain's chair of making all of us feel just a little bit better about ourselves and the world in which we live. Part of my mission for the extra years that I have been given. Greetings to all of Captain Joe's listeners all over the world. We just passed the winter solstice. The days are starting to get longer. The sun is out here on the magical Isle of Vashon, and Mount Rainier is showing herself in all of her beauty and all of her glory. Those of you who have been with me in Captain's Quarters over the year 2023, if you did not see Mount Rainier, then if you were with me today, you would see her with the snow cover all the way down the mountain. And there is no lenticular cloud on top. Lenticular clouds form up only on mountaintops, and they are called that because they look like the lens in your eye. So today, everything is clear. The mountain is beautiful. Your Captain Joe is basking in the warmth of a couple of things that have happened just in the last few days, in which I will relate after I get through the binnacle list, which is not a happy one for me today. In the week since the last time that we gathered around the chair, all of you gathered around the chair, and I got to pontificate in the week since last week when I had the ever-lovely Kate and Captain O'Brien and the counselor with me for a broadcast which seemed to have struck a responsive chord with many people because I got some wonderful responses to that broadcast. A couple of signals have come to me with people and serious conditions. People in one case that I had not heard from for some time, a number of years, and with a report of a very serious entry on the binnacle list. So much so that a no telephone number, I tried the phone number that I had in my red book, the red book that was part of Mary R.'s legacy. And apparently that phone number has been disconnected. And so I sent a signal off and I said, get back to me with a phone number so that we can talk and I can see exactly what's going on. I tell this in particular because as the chronology, as chronological years get added on to the number that I carry with me, the number of binnacle list entries of true seriousness increase. And in this last year, there were several friends, family, Coast Guard people, Captain Joe's people, who crossed their own bar. And I want to speak with these people when I get these signals and at least know that they are in my thoughts and in the palm of my hand. I am not myself on the binnacle list because I receive incredibly good care. And so I take this opportunity to thank Dr. Chris and all of the people at Pacific Medical Center who are the ones who keep me moving along way past by what any standard would be my sell-by date or best used by date or whatever that date is. A parenthetical insertion, my daughter Heather, whenever she comes over, she goes through my reefer and removes, clears with me, can these be sent to the deep six? She's been with me long enough that she uses that expression. Now, her standards of what should be sent to the deep six are quite different from mine. And so often something that she nominates for feeding to the deer population off my deck are ones that I say, no, that's perfectly fine. It can stay. It has not yet exceeded its usefulness. End of parenthetical insertion. The things that happen to us over the years, when you live a long time, you live a long life. As I am broadcasting to you from Voice of Vashon, I have to get this in, 101.9 on the FM band, and streaming live all over the world on voiceofvashon.org. And if you do not listen to me live and you're not able to be with me when I am pontificating face-to-face, you can go on to the voiceofvashon.org website, and Captain O'Brien is getting my broadcasts up almost every time the same day that I actually broadcast. So you can come on and listen to what I have to say. I received a signal from the Department of Motor Vehicles, and it said that it was time for me to renew my driving license in the state of Washington. And so the message went on to say that it is possible that you can renew online. But then I read down farther down, and it said, if you are over 70, you cannot renew online. You must come in, and you must take a test, a little simple test. And it said, and if you are over 70, you have to make an appointment with the Department of Motor Vehicles. Always one to follow instructions, I thus made such an appointment. And the message from the DMV also said, if you want to get an enhanced driver's license, and you're going to need an enhanced driver's license to travel. If you don't have any other documentation, you're going to need that in 2025. And so I made an appointment to get an enhanced driver's license. And it went on to say that if you want, you can get a driver's license that's good for 9 years. Now, why 9 and not 10, or why 9 and not 8 or 7? I don't know the answer to that. I don't like to be in the position of not knowing the answer to anything, but I don't know the answer to that. So I swore to myself that I would ask the practitioner who was behind the counter when I got there. So on the duly appointed day and hour, I appeared at the Department of Motor Vehicles to be confronted by a sign on the door that said closed. But I could see people rustling around inside, and I knew they were not supposed to be closed because my hour was on my little confirmation slip, and it conformed with the hour that was showing on my watch. So I tried the door, and aha, it opened, and I walked in, and there was this lovely young lady in the screening position, And I told her who I was, and she looked me up on the screen, and sure enough, she said, "There you are." And I said, "Well, your door says you're closed." And she says, "Oh, well, we just forgot to flip the sign." And she said, "I'll just have somebody, when they go back out after their appointment, flip the sign." So she said, "You're just go sit down over there. You are in line number 4. And at about 2 minutes after my appointed hour, there was nobody else in there except me and 4 practitioners. So I got up to the counter, and thus began a very interesting process. Because I wanted an extended driver's license, I needed to prove my citizenship, and I had brought my passport with me, and I'd also brought my military ID card showing that I had held the president's commission. So we went through, and he established that I was entitled to that extended driver's license. And then he said, "And I see that I can have this for 9 years. Now, a parenthetical insertion here, if you add the 9 years to my present chronological age, you come up with a very high number. And I was wondering whether or not he was going to say, "Well, that number is way too high for me, Captain. You don't get to renew for any more than 1 or 2 or 3. No siree. He said, "That'll be $75 extra for the $9 and for the 9 years. And I said, "I've got $75 right here." And I said, he said, "Do you want to be an organ donor?" I refrained from pointing out that the utility of any organs that I might contribute might be somewhat limited, if only for wear and tear. But I said, "Sure, I'll be an organ donor. I was one on my license before. I'll be one now. I want the little red heart on my license." And I said, "And I know that it can also show that I'm a veteran." And he said, "Are you a veteran?" I said, "Yes, I'm a veteran." He said, "Where's your DD-214? DD-214 is the document that each one of us got when we either retired or ended our time of service. And it gives the character of your discharge or your retirement, whatever the situation is." And I said, "No, I don't have a DD-14 with me, but I do have my military ID card, which shows that I'm an honored retiree." And he said, "Well, I'm not so sure that I can take that." He said, "I've never seen one of those before. Everybody comes in with a DD-214. I said, "Well, I'm not everybody, and I didn't come in with a DD-214, and so here is my ID card." I thought we were going to go to the next level with his supervisor, but he figured it out, and he accepted that. And so I now have an extended driver's license. It cost altogether $175 U.S., and it has that I'm an organ donor, that I am a veteran. There's a little American flag right next to my name. It is good for 9 years from the 8th of November of 2023. And so if you are going to need an extended driver's license if you're going to travel outside the United States or have some other documentation like a passport. So that's my enhanced driver's license story, and I treasure it, and not just because it cost $175, which seems to me to be a little bit excessive, but because the journey to get it with my practitioner on the other side of the counter, who was willing to take my cash, by the way. So there we go. I have it. I paid cash for it, and I treasure it along with my military ID card. In the week or 10 days, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I mention it now, the Blossom Report. Blossom turns out to have a serious thyroid condition, which we're going to treat with radioactive iodine. And so she is going to, when she comes back to me after a three-day stay at the practice, a practice in Tacoma that only does, it's called the feline hyperthyroidism cat practice. And that's all they treat. And so she's going to stay there for 3 or 4 days. And when I get her back, apparently she's going to glow in the dark just a little bit. But this is going to cut down on the amount of food that she takes in and the amount that she excretes. In both cases are exceptional. In a G Captain entry that came to me a couple of days ago, the motor vessel Maud, belonging to Hurtigruten. You know, I bet you like that Norwegian accent there. Hurtigruten. Hurtigruten is the mailboat that goes from Bergen on the west coast of Norway and goes all the way up to the North Cape. And they have expanded their interests and their business to include some cruising, including cruising into the Arctic and cruising down to the Antarctic. And one of the boats that they have built in the last 10 years is named Maud. And Maud is of significance to Antarctic people because the original Maud was the second vessel that was built for Raoul Amundsen. And it was intended, he intended to lock her into the ice to get as far as he could on the Northeast Passage. Of course, that is, of course, across the top of Siberia. And to make that and to make that trip, be the first person to do it. And he started the voyage with Maud to with the original Maud, who was about 120 feet long. And she was built very much to the same lines as Fram. And Fram is the classic icebreaker hull. So Maud that belonged to Amundsen took 6 years to make that voyage across the Northeast Passage. That's an interesting story in itself. But Maud, the name Maud, has been now given to this cruise ship belonging to Hurtigruten. And a few days ago, she got hit by what is characterized by the non-sailing, non-professional sailing press as a rogue wave. She got, if you take a look at the photograph, you'll see that she has a huge amount of glass, and it is in very large plates, and this so-called rogue wave broke a lot of the glass. It apparently damaged the steering such that she had to shift steering aft, and then there was some question about her ability to navigate. I am always gobsmacked when I read about ships which are damaged to the extent that Maud, this Maud, the present Maud, was, such that they can neither navigate nor steer. There's redundancy built into the steering of every ship that is built, whether it's military or civilian, such that she should be able to be steered from a secondary steering position, usually aft, very close to where the motor is that actually shifts the tiller. And but the other part of it is this so-called rogue wave. Every captain who is either licensed in the civilian world or is qualified in the military world to command and is in command, the presumption is that his skills are such that he knows exactly where he is in the whole business of heavy weather. He has rigged his ship for heavy weather, and he then is using all of the skills that he has acquired and all of the experience that he has acquired over the years to bring his ship through it. I'm reminded of the El Faro situation. I bring her up every so often because her captain took the advice of shoreside people rather than using his own experience and his own skills. And he lost his ship, and he lost his ship off of the down in the Caribbean 3-4 years ago, I think. So Maud was hit by this so-called rogue wave. I am thinking that she had too much glass. It was too, the sheets of it were too big, and she got hit by a big wave. I do not accept the idea that there are such things as rogues. There are big ones. And every captain who is taking a ship into that kind of weather, Pacific typhoons, Atlantic hurricanes, whatever it is, he should be rigging for heavy weather. In the Coast Guard and in the Navy, we have what is called the heavy weather bill. In the watch, quarter, and station bill, and in the ship's organization manual, there is a heavy weather bill, and it tells the crew exactly how the ship should be rigged when her captain is going to take her into bad weather or cannot avoid bad weather. The sea is exactly the same now as it was in creation, whatever creation story, to whichever creation story you subscribe. It's exactly the same. It has not changed, and it's not going to change to the end of time. So captains need to have both the experience, and they have to have the aggressiveness to bring their ship through, and they do this by setting the heavy weather bill. So I am waiting. Now, there will be a follow-up on this. The last thing on this particular article was that Maud, this Maud, was awaiting a tow. The humiliation of having somebody put a tow line on you when you are able to steam and you're able to steer is beyond my comprehension. And that is what I have to say about all of that. The King's Christmas message, King Charles III. I watched his Christmas message yesterday. I spent Christmas Day in some memory time with Mary R. And then I spent the evening with friends of family rank. And one of the things that we did was to play the King's Christmas message. I was impressed both by the tone and by the content. And I felt that he had done a wonderful job. He needs a haircut, or as my Outer Banks shipmates would say, a harcut. Those of you who come from the Outer Banks and have lost your accent, let me refresh your recollection that my chief engineer in Ingham came from Harker's Island in North Carolina. And with him, we got a harcut, not a haircut. So King Charles needs a haircut. Whenever I see him in one of the military uniforms with that gray hair encircling his ears and draping down over the collar, I want to send him a signal and say, Your Majesty, go and find a good barber. I can recommend one here at McCord Air Force Base. But it was a very positive and very sincere message, his first as king. And I was impressed, and I felt good at the end of it. Which is for me to say to you that I, one of the things that happened in the last week. And in fact, it came to me just this morning. It was a belated Christmas card. And it came to me on the Coast Guard channel, and it came to me by way of a piece of writing that had been done by a captain, a brother captain in the Coast Guard. But that brother captain started out with me as a first-class petty officer. And furthermore, he was playing the role of Santa at one of the Christmas parties at at my base and group command in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, when I was the group commander and the base commander. And we had at Christmas time, we had two parties, one for the children. And then that evening, we always had a dinner dance for the adults. And he told the story of the time when he had been selected for chief, and he had not yet undergone his initiation into the chief's mess, but he had been asked and he had agreed to be Santa. And the gift to me from the crew was a collection of model toys, models having to do with search and rescue. And so so Bob, for that is his first name, suited up as Santa, had given out all of the presents to the children, and he had one left, and that was the one that was addressed to little Joey Wubold. And he was reluctant to address me that way, but he was prodded by some of his soon-to-be brother chiefs to say, there's one more present there, and you need to give it to the addressee. And so Santa said, is there a little Joey Wubold here today? And I, of course, sprang right up, and I said, I am he. But I'm Captain Joe. I am he. And I went and sat on Santa's lap, and there's a wonderful photograph of me with hair, brown hair, and Petty Officer Robert, attired as Santa, with me sitting on his lap. And we both have big smiles, and it's just a photograph emblematic of the way that I felt about this particular command. I love the command. I love the people that I was privileged to command, and all of the families that went with them. It was a wonderful 3 years. So anyway, Santa said, is little Joey Wubold here? And I sprang up and I went and sat on his lap, Joey Wubold. And after he'd given me the gift, I said I want to be very clear that Santa is the only one who is entitled to call me little Joey Wubold. And with that, I am so grateful. I am the most fortunate of men. I am so grateful to have had the privilege of commanding people like Bob Desch, because he went on to become first a chief and then a warrant officer. And after warrant, he went to OCS and became a commission officer. And he worked his way all the way up through the officer ranks, and he retired as a captain. A wonderful, wonderful, and warm story. And I may have had just a very small part in all of that, which really warms the cockles of this captain's black heart. And with that, it is once again the end of our time together today. As always, I am on station and watching properly. And this is, as always, your Captain Joe. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we'll meet here next week. It'll be the first broadcast of the new year. And we'll be looking ahead into the new year. So, as always, all of you are in the palm of my hand.